Thank you, Mark. I really appreciate that song. It's very appropriate at this time. I want you to stand this morning, if you will, please. Take your Bibles. I'll let you stand this time, okay? All right. Take your Bibles. I want you to go to Matthew chapter number 2. Part of the Christmas story, I guess, is the wise men and the we talk about the wise men, and we talk about shepherds, and we talk about angels, and we talk about those things. But here in Matthew chapter 2, we have in the first 12 verses this part of what we see as a Christmas story, or at least part of it. But maybe this doesn't really belong in the Christmas story at all. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the host among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard these things, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can read the story of the birth of Christ. You give that to us so that we might understand that Christ Jesus came into the world like us to seek and to save that which is lost. And every individual is a born sinner. And Lord, we just thank you that because of Christ, we have the remedy for sin, over the presence of sin and over the power of sin in our lives, if we trust in Christ with all of our hearts. And we thank you today for the story of Christ's birth coming into the world. And in Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Many of you in your family have probably started the day after Thanksgiving and started getting ready, I guess you might say, for Christmas. Or maybe you started long before that. But I read a story about British research and how stressful it is for men during Christmas season, because men are not shoppers. Most men do not like to go into stores and buy and do those things. And so they took a poll of men, and they just kind of monitored their hearts during the Christmas season, and they found out that the pulse rate for men during the Christmas season goes up to that of a fighter pilot going into combat. When you get to thinking about what it's really like in the Christmas time, But only one out of four women showed any signs of stress at all. And so there's a great difference between the stressful time of Christmas for men and women, okay? So the question I guess we really have is, how come the Bible says that they were wise men and not wise women? You might be able to answer that question. But they were wise men. Maybe they couldn't find enough wise women. I don't know in the scripture. But I just want to say, if they were wise women, things would have been entirely different. They would have been entirely different. They would have asked directions long before the men did. That's for sure. They would have asked for directions, and they would have probably known right away where they're going. You know, the story is told that the Lord Jesus was born in a barn, and they said there was no room for them in the inn. The women would have not taken no for an answer. Okay, I know that. I'm going to just go back to my mother-in-law, Nancy. She was the greatest for returning gifts there ever was. She could take a gift that she'd had 10 years, and she could return it. If it broke. If it was guaranteed not to break or whatever, it didn't have to be a guarantee. I got to tell you, the other day, my wife found an old CD player. And she's a lot like her mother, okay? She called the company. Now, this CD player was so old. It looked brand new, okay? But it was at least 10 years old. And so she calls the company because she couldn't get it to play. And so she calls the company, and I felt really bad for the guy she was talking to. But anyway, as I listened there, I thought, if she gets a new CD player, I guess it's going to work. I mean, you know, who does that? But, you know, when you get to thinking about it, the Christmas story is an amazing story, isn't it? When we talk about the birth of God coming down to earth and becoming like us, without sin, born, laid in a manger, and I know probably there's not an individual in this room that can say that you were born in a barn, laid in a cattle stall, feeding trough. But, you know, when we think about this portion of this Christmas story, maybe it doesn't even belong in the Christmas story, really. Because you see, these wise men missed the very first Christmas. And by probability, they probably even missed the second Christmas. Because Jesus is now probably upwards to 2 years, past 2 years old. When we see this, though. But, you know, I want us to look this morning, if you just kind of think about it a little bit. The Bible calls them wise men. Wise men. Okay, this morning, let's look then why they're wise. What would make them wise? We don't know how many there were. We don't know who they are. We're not given their names. We're not told too much about them. They're called the Magi. And I personally like to think that they came from Babylon. I like to think that they came from Babylon by the idea that maybe in the Old Testament, when Daniel and the children of Israel were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and they were hauled off to Babylon, I kind of, in my mind or in my thinking, think that's probably where they originated from, but we're not really told. And so that's kind of the idea of my thought in their study. But they studied the stars. And this was not just some ordinary star, but this was the star that leads them to where the Christ child is born. But the real question is, what really makes them wise? And I think these things that make them wise are the same things that will make you and I wise. Or at least it should. So I want to suggest some things here this morning about these wise men. The first thing that I see, and I think it's the first thing for you and I, if you really want to be wise. The scripture tells us back in the book of Proverbs, it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom. And I don't think you can be a wise individual without wisdom. They go together. But I want us to think here, if you're going to be a wise individual, I think the first thing we see about them is that they make a wise decision to search out for Christ or for Jesus. They make that wise decision. They saw God at work in the glory of the stars, and so they go there, and they are seeing a star that leads them through, I believe, the very leading of God to leading them to where the Christ child is. Science, astronomy, presents us with some very amazing questions in our lives, doesn't it? And they decided to search the stars to find out what it was all about. You see, we see today, and the Bible's going to tell us that if you study your scriptures, you're going to find out there's going to be some amazing things take place in the heavens. There's going to be some amazing things that we really need to look at and to study. Men today still need answers. And if there's one answer that this world science-wise is trying to figure out, is where did we really come from? It's kind of a crazy, crazy question that God has answered from the beginning of time. For you and I, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You can't get the right answers with searching for truth. We will never, and science or any other ology will never come up with the right answer without searching for truth. Truth has to be the ultimate. And in John 17:17, we have these words by Jesus himself. He says, sanctify them through thy truth, or set them apart through thy truth, Father. Thy word is truth. Whenever we come to the realization of questions in our lives, we need to go back to the scriptures and find out the truth of why things happen the way they do, how the stars guided those wise men the way they did. And we see how they traveled. Take your Bible, I want you to go to the right just a little bit, to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. You go to Acts, go to the next little book there, Romans, chapter number 1. And I want you to look at verse number 20. Truth. This is truth. Thy word is truth. And in Romans chapter 1, looking at verse number 20, it says, for the invisible things of Him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, God says, I did it all. I give you the evidence of it. I show you all of it. It's the truth. My word is truth. And in Psalm 19, it says that heavens declare the glory of God, doesn't it? And the firmament shows His handiwork. God has given us the truth. And the trouble is that some will accept it and some will reject it. And to come to a wrong conclusion because they don't follow the truth of the Word of God. And so I'll go back to that statement that I just made there in Genesis 1:1. It's my start. I believe Genesis 1:1. I hope you do. God did it, and that settles it for me. That settles it. I don't have to try to understand all of the ologies in this world. I just accept this. And the decision for me then has already been made. I'll search the truth of God's word to find out the truth in life's situations. These men were wise because they made a decision to follow the truth of the scriptures. The truth of the scriptures. Look at verse number 5. If you go back there to Matthew, look at verse number 5. And they said unto Him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written of the prophets. They had the opportunity to search the scriptures. The priests and the scribes, they studied the scriptures, but you know what? The interesting thing about it is they knew where the king was to be born, but they didn't even go themselves to find Him out. You know why? They didn't care about truth. They didn't care about truth. The thing is today, are you and I searching for the meaning of life today? You ever ask the question yourself, why do things happen the way they do? You know, I think you're unique in this world if you don't ever ask the question of why do things happen the way they do? Sometimes we don't want them to happen the way they do. I don't understand cancer. I don't understand how some can go through life and never get cancer. And some can go through life and get cancer multiple times. I don't understand it. I don't understand why you see little kids in St. Jude's Children's Hospital having to go through cancer treatment. I don't understand why some little kids get it and some kids don't. It baffles me. But we know that one place is the place to start. We search the scriptures for truth. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not the end, it's the beginning. We search the scriptures. How important is truth to you? I heard a man say this week, and I thought it was very important, America is slipping away from the very truth of the scriptures. Our country was founded on the very truth principles of the scriptures, the Judeo-Christian ethic, and we are slipping away from the very foundational truths that our Constitution was written on. The very men that founded the Constitution were most of them were Bible-believing men of God. They trusted God. They believed God. They studied the scriptures. They knew them. But in this day and age, what we would call some of the smartest people in the world are the dumbest by far, because they deny and have never made a decision to follow truth. They follow the teaching of someone else. Let me ask you a question. Where do you get your teaching? Where do you get your knowledge? Where do you get your understanding of the scriptures? Is it me? Is it a preacher you hear? I hope not. I hope you study the scriptures. Scriptures are truth. Now, don't misunderstand me. I listen to a lot of Bible-believing preachers, teachers, evangelists. But when it comes right down to it, the basic foundation comes down to me. I better study the scriptures and see it for myself. And I better realize that I'm accountable. I can't take what someone else said. I remember one time years ago when I was working at Eli Lilly, I had witnessed to an individual, a gentleman there, and he made the statement to another man. He said, "Well, Jack saved me." No, Jack never saved anyone, nor will I ever. But I had shared with him what the Bible says was truth about our sin and our lives. And the smartest thing that you and I can do is accept what God said about His Son. What God said about His Son. But they made a right decision, didn't they? They made a decision to follow a God and His leading there, to follow that star. But that's not all. They were wise in the way they searched for Jesus. They were wise in how they searched. They were determined in their search to keep going until they found Him. You know how long it took them, as I can recall this? It's over 1,000 miles that they went. It probably took them about 2 years in their travels. That's the reason Jesus was about 2 years old or older when they finally came into that stable, or in their case, it's a house. He's no longer in the stable. He's in a house. They didn't have a religious hit and miss. Let's try it today and go a little farther. No, they were constantly on their way. They were looking for the origin of what they really desired, and that's the following of that star so that they can find the King of Israel. Scripture says, it looks like they followed intently to the very end of their journey, and nothing was going to sway them from one way or the other. They were going to be determined. I think in those 2 years, they probably had ridicule. Ridicule. Hey, have you ever been ridiculed for being a Christian? Jesus said, in the world, they hated me, they're going to hate you too. You better bank on this one thing, folks. This world is becoming more and more aggressive towards Christianity. True. I read an article the other day from individuals that should know, that there's been more Christians killed in the last few years than has been killed in all of history combined. Around this world, Christianity is hated. Ridicule costs to be a Christian. It costs something. It costs us ourselves. We have to put ourselves to death in order to accept the life of Christ. 2 years of weary, tiresome travel. I don't know. Maybe they came by camels. I don't know. Donkeys or whatever they came. But I'm sure there was times of illness. I'm sure there was times of discouragement. I'm sure there was times that, which way do we go? What turn do we take? I'm sure in that day and age, they had robbers along the way too. But they kept going. They were determined because of that decision that they'd made to follow that star. I wonder, did they ever feel like quitting? And I think, no. No. Do you ever feel like quitting? I hope not. How determined are we in our search for truth today? Determined are we to really search out truth? The king's wise men were wise in head, but not in heart. They knew in their head where Christ should be born, but they didn't have it in their heart enough to go see. One day they'll give an account, just like you and I will. These wise men discounted the king's words of wanting to come and worship. I saw another D here, direction. But here they had discernment. They could see right through the king. The king didn't want to come and worship him. Not really. So they saw through that and they went home another way. Number three, at the end of their search, they were wise in their devotion. Number 11 says that they fell down and worshiped him. If you look at verse number 11, it says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." We always see three wise men because of the three treasures that they brought. But they fall down and they presented him those gifts, gold. Gold. I believe the gold that God had provided for them to take on their journey to present them before Christ was enough to get Joseph and Mary and the Lord Jesus down into Egypt, that travel. They didn't need gold. What would you do with gold? Gold deserves the very best, best in life. You see, when we look at the book of Revelation, you find in chapter number 19, we see a gold standard. And we find there that when the Lord Jesus comes back, he's coming back on a white horse and he has a name written that's on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's the gold standard of a person's life. 747 times in the New Testament, says that Jesus is Lord. It's the gold standard. Some of you might, we hear it all the time if you watch TV, put in your portfolio. Those of you, I can't even spell portfolio. I haven't got a portfolio. I don't know what it is. I've got a briefcase, but I've not carried it for years. Put gold in it, right? It'll sustain you in your latter years. I've not found a person yet that can eat it. I'd rather have food than gold. I think there's a day coming when men and women and a family would rather have food than the gold that they have. Because the scripture says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Because in this world, it can be stolen. What would you do if you had a bunch of gold? Well, I know what you better do. You better protect your family because somebody's going to steal it. And then it says they brought him frankincense. 17 times in the Bible this word is used. And it's used to mean praise and worship, to smell good. Smell good. We put cologne or aftershave on or perfume. We put it on when we come to church. But you know, here's the thing. Can we smell good to God? We can come in and we can smell great in here physically. The Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They stink to high heaven. When we look at frankincense, God said of his own son, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Frankincense, how well do we smell to God? And then the last little gift is that of myrrh, a gift worth of sacrifice. It's the embalming that they used in that day and age. And then myrrh was used in an embalming process, a picture of the reason he came. He came to die so that you and I might live. So this morning, those three words, those men were wise in their decision. They were wise in their determination. And they were wise in their devotion. How are we? How are we today? You know, that little story here of the wise men has been told for 2,000 years now. Wise. Let's stand this morning. Okay, let's talk about decision. Decision. Have you made a decision for Christ? Have you made a decision? I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Decision. How determined are we to really search out the scriptures? Because this is God's truth. Truth. You have any questions in your heart and in your mind? Any questions today on your life and situations? They're here. The answers are right here. Thy word is truth. I often come back to the realization in my thinking, in my Romans 8:28 is still in this book, and it'll be there till eternity. For God is working all things, together for good to them that love him and are the called according to his purpose. Oh, there's another one that goes right along with it. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. They go together. Maybe there's a situation in your life where you really need to hit your knees and thank God for it. Maybe not what you really enjoyed in life, but it's something that's true. It's true. You know, this Christian life isn't a bed of roses, is it? It's not easy. But in everything, thank God for it. Because there's something greater at the end. Something greater. And then devotion. How strong is our devotion? It's Christmas. What's the real story of Christmas? It's a heart that's devoted to Jesus Christ and Christ alone. I won't see most of you again till after Christmas. And I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. We say it a lot. Merry Christmas. But do we really understand it? Decision, determination, and devotion. That's what made those wise men wise. Let's pray. Father, thank you today. Thank you for the story, the true story. All the Pharisees, they came up with other stories that it was an illegitimate birth and all of that, but it's the greatest truth that this world has ever seen, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's us. Thank you, Father, for giving us the greatest gift that was ever given and that can ever be given. Thank you for your Son. In His name I pray. Amen. Amen. Shake hands, please, before you leave.